in the short account in the strike bulletin that was edited by Ivans, they refer to my first speech when I went into Winnipeg in Victoria Park. And it's a short account, as any account must be, but the speech was long. But they get this in, and probably the reader wouldn't know what I was talking about. An appeal from Gideon drunk to Gideon sober. And the point was that the 12 months before this, the same man, Gideon Robertson, came into this town and ratified a collective bargaining undertaking by the Metal Trades Council of this city. And 12 months later refused to take the same position in Winnipeg. That was the drunk and the sober. I can tell you more about this fellow because he came down to Victoria when I was Reeve. And his finger was to stop the relief work in Burnaby. He was after my hide.
Yes, okay.
And I brushed it all aside and I appealed to Premier Tommy. And I said, I know what this man is talking about and what is worrying him. And if so, I'll pack my bags at any time and go any place and we'll have it out before the public. And I told them what's the matter.
On that point, Mr. Pritchard.
Just a minute.
Yeah, go ahead.
We were paying the people who worked down the ditch, down below, 25 cents a day more than the $4 that were paid to other workers. And this was 25 cents more than the relief was set by the government. But this was work undertaken under bond issue and was our contribution to the relief work. It was also a contract between the municipality and employees. And this man wanted us to break a contract between employer and employees. And this is the thing, they were going to stop that. And I came from Victoria one day back to Burnaby, and the order had come from Ottawa to close down all the relief work. I called a public meeting in North Burnaby and told the world at large, the relief work goes on tomorrow, be on the job. And that's what happened, you see. Then later, when we didn't get the money for the work we get done for the government, together with the overhead, five projects almost completed before we got a penny on the first one. The men that were digging ditches in the lanes and clearing parks and were in a worse position than the municipal employers on water, roads and sewers, there was no money for them. The money was there. It was in the sinking funds. And I was guilty of dipping into the sinking funds to pay these men. And the judge said, what could you do? I pleaded guilty. Mm-hmm. But he would suspend it. Mm-hmm. And he said, this man probably saved the municipality from revolution. Mm-hmm. And he sent word to Victoria that the acts of the chairman of finance and the treasurer and Reeve Pritchard be legalized. That was his request. Mm-hmm. It hasn't been done yet.
Still waiting.
Huh?
Still waiting.
You know?
Mr. Penner?
Yeah. The point that Mr. Pritchard makes about the inconsistency of Gideon Robertson ratifying a collective bargaining agreement in Vancouver, which he refused to ratify in Winnipeg the next year, is due, in my opinion, to at least two circumstances, which I suggest in my introduction. One is that the Manitoba establishment, the business establishment, of which Meehan was the representative on the cabinet, had a long history of very primitive labor relations. The fact the metal fabricating shops that triggered off the strike, the unions in those shops had been trying since 1906 to get an agreement. And the owners of those plants, with the full backing of Meehan, who was their man in the cabinet, refused point blank to agree to that. That was the first reason. The second reason is that Mr. Gideon Robertson, Senator Gideon Robertson, was a paid official of the American Federation of Labor, mm-hmm. which saw in the one big union which was emerging out of the strike a real threat to the international union, so-called, the American-dominated Canadian union system. And they felt that any concession to the strikers in Winnipeg would in fact be a concession to the OBU, and under all circumstances it must not be allowed.
Right. And had that one big union succeeded, it would have solved many of the breakaway problems we have right now, wouldn't it?
That's right.
Canadian unions.
That's right. It was a genuine attempt of the Canadian working class to establish its own unions and on an industrial basis.
Right. I have two more questions before we break off this section. First of all, I've heard that today students are turning away from violence and demonstrations and turning to the Communist Party in greater numbers. Have you noticed anything?
I don't know.
I would say from my viewpoint, I don't think it is that they are turning to the Communist Party. In fact, my understanding of it is that the Communist Party is the least of the Marxist socialist groups that is getting the benefit of a great resurgence in interest in Karl Marx.
Yeah.
There are dozens and dozens of circles and associations and groups across this country, mainly in the universities, of young people who have taken to the study of Marxism. But I don't think it would be correct to say that the Communist Party is the beneficiary of that. I think it's most of the Marxist groups.
I hope it's true that they're turning away from noisy demonstrations and chanting of silly slogans. And in an essay we wrote some time ago, an appeal to the young, we asked that they stop shouting long enough to do some little thinking. That's the pace off. And
one short question. When will the NDP in Canada win the federal election?
That's his business. You can't ask a foreigner to answer that question.
Mr. Penner?
Well, I would give you an answer that is really no answer. When the working class has understood that it must break from the capitalist parties.
Thank you very much, Mr. Penner and Mr. Pritchard, and we'll break here for a while.